Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome home. This is Tracy, and we want to thank you for being a part of the Life Together podcast. Before we get into this week's teaching, we want you to know that you matter to God and you matter to us. Life Together is a Wednesday evening gathering for worship, Bible study, and community here at Oak Creek Assembly of God in Oak Creek, Wisconsin.
Our story tonight starts in 1948. And yes, our 1948. And I need to ask as a poll, who in the room was alive in 1948? Either born in 1948 before, I have a few hands over here. That's really cool. Congratulations. Happy birthday. You may not know this, but we actually have a Wednesday morning version of Life Together that we do in the cafe at 10 a.m. on Wednesdays. And that crew had more people in that category. And I met two ladies this morning with fascinating stories about 1948. One of them was born in 1946 in Germany. And so her mother is German, and her father was a U.S. military veteran who, in the aftermath of World War II, met this beautiful German girl, fell in love, started a family, and then moved back to the U.S. eventually, which is fascinating. And then I also met a lady this morning who was born in 1948 on the day of the event that I'm starting the talk with tonight. And she was born on the day that President Truman and the United Nations declared that Israel was a nation. And this was huge. That after World War II, after the Holocaust, the sympathy towards the Jewish people was as high as it had been. And this agreement that so many people thought was undoable, unthinkable, was accomplished in 1948, and Israel was declared to be a sovereign state, to be its own nation. And I want you to think about the year 1948, and then I want to go way back, and I want you to think about the year 586 BC. So 586 BC is when the book of Daniel in your Bible came from, because Daniel was there when the Babylonians took over Israel, and Israel lost the sovereignty of their nation. And so from 586 BC to 1948, there is over 2,500 years where Israel was not in control of their own land, where they lived as strangers in a foreign land, a land that was promised to Abraham, but yet they were not in control of. And out of that 2,500 years, there is one exception, and that one exception is the family we've been studying in this series, who for 103 years had control of Israel as a sovereign state in the 100 years before Jesus was born. The stretch is so quick. Our first week, we talked about Judas Maccabeus, who led the revolution and got the power. Then we talked about his nephew, King Simon, had that action against the Samaritans. Last week, we talked about King Simon's daughter-in-law, who ruled and brought the Pharisees to power. And then today, we're talking about Queen Salome's two sons, and then it's over. The timeline of the kingdom of heaven is large. So her two sons were warring brothers. From the very beginning of their power struggle, they were trying to push their mom out of power, and then they were warring against each other. One of the crazy stories from the sons of Queen Salome is that one of the brothers hired a family member to go capture his brother and cut off his brother's ear. There was a rule that the high priest of Israel could not be deformed in any way. And so because his brother's ear was cut off, he wasn't able to hold that position anymore. And so these boys independently both head off to Rome, because Rome was the big brother of the time. And so they're both trying to find favor with Rome. So they meet with Caesar and they say, "You should choose me. I'm the guy. Let me be in charge of Israel." And the brother comes on his own trip and says, No, choose me. Let me be in charge of Israel." And in 40 BC, 40 years before Jesus is born, Caesar in Rome says, I've got a solution. I'm going to choose neither one of you, and I'm going to put this back under Roman control, and I'm going to bring in a guy named, anyone? Herod the Great, who was the one who met with the wise men, was the one who was terrified of this newborn king of the Jews. And right there, 40 years before Jesus is born, the dynasty is dead and it's over. The timeline of the kingdom of heaven is vast. I want to talk about the timeline of the kingdom of heaven tonight, and we're going to do it by looking at two more parables from the book of Matthew. And we're going to go to a new chapter tonight. So if you have your cell phones to scroll with us or your Bibles to turn with us, let's go to Matthew chapter 25. If you notice, that's something new. We've been in Matthew chapter 13, and there was a group of parables there that we looked at for the first 3 weeks, and now we're hopping over to two different parables with kind of a different theme in Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to start reading in verse 1. It says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. It's a story that I know well. If you're not familiar with it, Jesus compares himself to a bridegroom coming for a wedding. And Jesus says, I am like the bridegroom. And there were all of these bridesmaids waiting to go. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. And when he comes, the bridesmaids have fallen asleep. But the ones that were prepared are able to come in and join the wedding party, while the 5 that were not prepared were not able to come in. And the part of the story that I had forgotten is verse 5, where it says, the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. I had forgotten that they all fell asleep. This makes me think of when Jesus was on his last night before his crucifixion. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he brings 11 of his disciples with him. And you know who falls asleep? They all do. It's not just the good ones or the bad ones. It's all of them. This makes me remind myself of something tonight, and that time is long. We are all going to have moments where we feel tired. I think all of us this year have felt a different type of exhaustion, a different type of weariness and weight, because the timeline of the kingdom of heaven is long. I want to say it like this. The length of the timeline of the kingdom of heaven has been surprising generations for generations. When Jesus begins talking about his kingdom, the people of his time thought it was going to happen really fast. James and John, they start arguing about who gets to sit where when he becomes king and on the throne and where are we going to be at, because they thought the kingdom of heaven was coming quickly. Peter, when he hears about the kingdom of heaven, grabs a sword and tries to start an army. Judas starts to plan a coup when he hears that a kingdom is coming, because they believed it was happening quickly and they did not understand that the timeline of the kingdom of heaven is long. I think about the ones in the room who were alive in 1948 and who have seen more of history than I have seen. And I imagine that there were times in the past where good Christian people really thought the kingdom of heaven was coming now. I can imagine that during the Cuban Missile Crisis, that was a very complicated time. I imagine that 40 years of the Cold War, I imagine that 20 years of Vietnam was a time when many good Christians thought that the kingdom of heaven was coming, and they were wrong. I'm so ready for coronavirus to be out of our country and out of the world, but yet I'm really thankful that coronavirus is not the polio. I actually have a uncle who's now in his 70s who lives in Phoenix, who was miraculously healed from polio when he was a child. And if you're not familiar, in the 1930s and 40s, when polio was at its strongest, 500,000 people were either paralyzed or killed from polio every single year when it was at its worst. And I imagine that if you were a mom during that time, you would have thought the kingdom of heaven was coming, not soon, but now, in that decade, in that moment. But the timeline of the kingdom of heaven is long. And on the flip of that, I do feel that when I look at 2,500 years of when Israel was not in charge of their country, that I look at us and I say, well, that was 2,500 years. That wasn't just decades or centuries. That was millenniums of time where a major piece of the puzzle was not in place. And now out of all of the time that I could have been born in, that I could live in, that we could be having this conversation in this room, it's rather unique that we are living in a time where that is in place and there are things that are changing and moving. The time is soon. And I like to say it like this, that the length of the timeline of the kingdom of heaven has been surprising generations for generations, but one day the shortness of the timeline of the kingdom of heaven will surprise everyone. We may know the season, but we will not know the day or the hour. No one will know that Jesus is coming Friday at 3 p.m. So if the wise and the foolish bridesmaids both fell asleep, if they both got exhausted, if that was the same, what about them makes them different? And the difference comes in the preparation. And so to look at their preparation, we're actually going to jump to one more parable tonight. So in Matthew chapter 25, let's move a little bit deeper into the chapter, and we're going to start at verse 14 and read one more parable this evening. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in portions to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. My question for tonight is this: what are you doing while you're waiting? If you're not familiar with this parable, what happens next is the master shows back up and he calls all 3 of his servants to be accountable. And so the one who had 5 and now has 5 more, he praises. The one who had 2 and now has 2 more, he praises. And then the one who has hidden his gift, who has hidden his bags of silver and has not invested it and not grown it, he condemns that one and he calls him slothful and lazy and wicked. What are you doing while you're waiting? The wise servants were not praised because they were well-intentioned or peaceful or patient. They were praised because they multiplied the kingdom. While you're waiting, we should multiply the kingdom. And here's the good news. You only have to multiply the things that God gave you, which takes a lot of sweat off the plate. Because you don't have to multiply the things that God gave someone else. There may be someone next to you has an amazing gift of hospitality, and they're just so good at it. Someone next to you who is a great preacher or evangelist or teacher or manager or builder, and you don't have to multiply their gifts. You have to multiply what God has given you. I'm thinking about people in the room tonight who God has given you a gift of spiritual motherhood or fatherhood. And you might not have kids, and you might still have a gift of spiritual motherhood or fatherhood. And there are people in your influence that you are caring for and that you are watching for. And God wants you to multiply the kingdom. And there are ways for you to open that umbrella and create that shelter for more people. And people in this church and in your workplace and in this community who are in desperate need of a mother or father spiritual figure, that you could open your door and multiply the kingdom. I'm thinking of people in this room tonight who have fantastic managerial skills, and you could make the choice of going into your job tomorrow and doing the bare minimum to survive and checking out as quickly as you can check out and calling it a day, or you could multiply the kingdom and take the gifts that God has given you, invest in your skills, and become the best manager your company has ever seen. Be the next CEO, be the next VP, be the next small business owner, and create a Christ-like culture in your business because you are multiplying the kingdom. The next thing I want to talk about preparation is number two, prepare for a long wait. This might hit some people the wrong way, but I want you to stay with me. I want you to prepare for the possibility that the kingdom of heaven does not come in your lifetime. Because as we've learned from previous generations, the kingdom of heaven may not come in your lifetime. And when you prepare that way, the children of this church become really, really important. Because if you are thinking that the greatest investment of your life is going to outlive you and still be here, the way that we love and care for the next generation becomes extremely critical. It is extremely critical that if Jesus does not come back in the next 100 years, that there is a vibrant Jesus-focused ministry in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And so the fact that we are here today is great, but if we believe there's a possibility that Jesus doesn't come in the next 100 years, what we leave behind us is even more important. There could be some 5-year-old girl walking around this church who will be the next lead pastor of this church 30 years from now. I am aware that there are things in my timeline that I do not have control over. There are parts of my life and the idea of what comes next that are not in my hands. And yet, if I believe that the timeline of the kingdom of heaven is long, then I'm also making decisions every day to get myself to 101. I don't want to live to 100. It's kind of cliche, so I'm going to go a little further. But I'm making decisions today in my health, in my financial planning, in my relationship with my children, who I hope one day grow up and be really smart and have a nice guest room. I am planning to live for a long time. That may not be God's will, but if it is God's will, I want to prepare for a long wait. Now, point three seems wildly contradictory, but I think we're going to go here anyway, is I want you to prepare for a short wait. You know who was surprised whenever the bridegroom showed up? They all were surprised. The wise ones were surprised. The foolish ones were surprised. If they knew he was coming that day, they would not have been asleep. But they were all surprised because no one knows the day or the hour when the kingdom of heaven is going to come. When the three servants were sitting there and the master showed back up and asked them to be accountable, who was surprised? They all were surprised. It is important that we live our lives preparing for a short wait. The kingdom of heaven may come before we finish this talk. And the decisions I'm making today is that I want to wake up every day aware that this day could be my last. And there is a humbling attitude that comes with that. And there is a zeal to see my king that comes with that. That I want to see the bridegroom. I want to be with him. I want to be connected. When every time that I pray, Lord, let your kingdom come here on earth just as it is in heaven, that's exactly what I'm thinking. That one day, and it might be sooner than we think, the principles of the kingdom of heaven aren't going to stay up here. Because right now, we're just practicing. We're just emulating. We are doing our best to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. But one day, the kingdom of heaven will come, and the king of heaven, the revolutionary king of heaven, will come. And so my challenge for us tonight, and my challenge for us in the waiting is this. Wait well. If you feel tired and exhausted in the waiting, I want to free you of your guilt. It is okay to feel that way. Everyone gets tired. Even the disciples fell asleep. But in the waiting, wait well. Multiply the gifts that God has given you. Multiply the kingdom. I want you to prepare for a long wait, and I want you to prepare for a short wait. The question I want to ask your tables tonight is around that first point there. And the question is what is something that you can do to multiply the kingdom? And I mean this not in a pushy way. I mean this in a creative conversation way of what is something that you can do or haven't thought about doing that you could inspire your table and talk about the ways that your giftings could be invested and multiply the kingdom. It may be something that you're already doing. It may be something that you've never done, but you've considered doing. I think it's a great way to close this conversation tonight and close this series, but I want to pray with you first. Lord, I pray that you would birth in each one of us a desire to see the kingdom of heaven come to earth. I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for the ways that we have treated your kingdoms like a kingdom of earth that can be won and bought with war and power and money. I pray, Lord, that you would be with us as we wait well. I pray, Lord, that you would allow our spirits to find contentment in the waiting. I pray that you would teach us to be investors of the talents that you've given us. And I pray that you would be blessed. I pray that our wait would feel like worship to you. I pray that our wait would feel level-headed and passionate at the same time. We want to be prepared. We want to be a people who are waiting well for you. I love you tonight. I pray for every individual and family and workplace that is represented in this room. I pray, God, that we would be the kind of kids who find our identity in you, who understand that we are tall and strong because we belong to you, and that you would allow your presence to work through us on a daily basis, work through us in our conversations and in our thought life and in the quiet places we find ourselves in. We love you. We thank you for the good gifts that only you give. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us for the Life Together podcast. It's even better when we get to see you in person. You are invited to join us on Wednesday evenings here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. We are a church that exists to reach our world for Christ as we lead people to discover and become who God has created them to be. Find us online at oakcreekag.org.